The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello, I'm Peter Strachan. Welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. Frontier Energy is firmly focused on a renewable energy future in Western Australia. The company has released its definitive feasibility study over a simplified renewable energy project to support the state's Southwest Interconnect power system. Frontier plans an initial solar farm with peak output of 120 megawatts linked to a 320 megawatt hour battery, all of which is well located with respect to existing power transmission infrastructure on freehold land. Here to update us on the company's development plans, we're pleased to welcome its Chief Executive Officer, Adam Killey. Adam, thanks for joining us at Stockhead today. Can you just talk us through the financial drivers for Frontier's concept to build a well-located solar power plant with energy storage in the state's southwest?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks very much for having us today as well, Peter. So as you've alluded to, we've just released the DFS for our Stage 1 project, 120 megawatt solar with an 80 megawatt 4-hour battery attached. That's got initial capital cost of just over $300 million, but really the key drivers or the key outputs from this overall is the EBITDA numbers. So we average around $68 million EBITDA for the first 5 years of operation, and that's $63 million on average over the first decade. Importantly, with all of the revenue assumptions that we've got in the model, they've all been provided by an independent energy forecaster. That was important for us to do to engage this group because at the same time as releasing the DFS, we're very, very quickly now moving towards debt financing. Anytime you do debt financing, you need independent energy forecasters to provide what's going to happen with the market in the future. So that's what we've done at extremely strong outputs. And I suppose that the other key output from that is that all evolves into a really quick payback period. So 5.8-year payback post-tax or 4.6 pre-tax. When you're talking of a 30-plus-year operation, they're very, very strong numbers overall.
I think a lot of people will be aware that there's a big fluctuation in the demand for power and often a mismatch between the supply of power during the day in the summer and the winter, where power prices can be negative and then they can be extremely high. So how does this play into the business case for your project?
Yeah, so as we mentioned, we've included an 80 megawatt battery as part of our strategy. Now, I'll step through this. There's twofold reason for that. So the first one is obviously the energy arbitrage. So it makes perfect sense that in the middle of the day, in Western Australia, it has some of the highest PV or household solar in the world. It's around 38% at the moment. So you do, you find this phenomenon called a duck curve. That basically means that early in the morning, as energy demand starts increasing, the price is high. At about 9 o'clock, the price starts dipping. It can go negative around the middle of the day before it then starts increasing towards the back end of the afternoon and gets in those peak energy periods in the early evening. What we do now with a battery, we basically ensure that we harness that middle of the day, low price period, and we store that energy. So if you think of it very simplistically, let's just say the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll sell energy directly into the market during that period of time. At about 9 o'clock, where PV solar starts kicking in, we'll basically stop selling the energy into the market at that point. As prices start to dip, we'll start charging the battery. So we charge the battery now during that middle of the day period, so over a 4 or 5 hour period, and we fully load the battery up. Once you get to about 2 in the afternoon, we'll then start selling that solar energy back into the market as demand starts increasing, as people get home from school and work and whatnot. At say 5 o'clock, when renewable energy starts disappearing, so the sun starts setting and wind can die off or it gets curtailed in certain parts of the lines, we'll then start selling that peak energy period. So now we're discharging the battery. That's the peak energy period. And in Western Australia, that averaged around $150 a megawatt over the last year, which is around 80% higher than where it was a couple of years ago. So we sell that from 5 to 9 o'clock. And then we're done for the day. And then we get ready to do exactly the same thing tomorrow. But the other key point, and this is where it's really unique only in Western Australia, is the reserve capacity market. So Reserve capacity basically means that for every megawatt of energy we have available, the government will pay us an amount. The trade-off of this is, so in WA, the maximum energy price is $700 a megawatt. On the East Coast, on the NEM, it's $16,600 a megawatt. Basically, to ensure that energy generators are made whole and they've got energy ready to supply when it's required most, the government here pays this reserve capacity amount. Now, there's a couple of things which have been going on with that over the last period. The big one for us was up until the end of last year, the mechanism for reserve capacity was a gas peaking plant. Okay, so that makes sense. It's an asset that can readily be turned on when energy demand is at its peak. But being a gas peaking plant, it's also a carbon emission asset. So the government has changed that, so it's now a four-hour battery moving forward. When we understood this change was coming through, so the government indicated it at the back end of the year around October, we started doing work in the background on what a battery would actually cost and then where those numbers would look like. So that's all now been confirmed. The government confirmed it, and now battery is completely part of our strategy because now we will receive 100% of that reserve capacity payment. So very simplistically, with an 80 megawatt battery, the reserve capacity price has increased from around $150,000 a year a couple of years ago. It's now forecasted to be $230,000 in our first year of production. But once the market is forecasted to be in deficit, which is forecasted for the best part of the next decade in Western Australia, a 30% premium is applied to that as well. So that's what happened with last year's prices. So 30% and 230 gives you $300,000. 300 times by 80 megawatts gives us $24 million. So now we basically underwrite the project going forward with that payment. Importantly as well, we can lock that payment in for the first 5 years of production. So we receive the full payment for the battery, and then there's a discounted payment that you get for intermittent energy, obviously solar, which is about another $3 or $4 million on top as well.
Well, looking at that and extending what you've said about the battery, what sort of battery chemistry is currently planned for the company, and are you examining sort of longer duration forms like flow batteries that could discharge over, say, 8 to 24 hours rather than the 4 hours, you know, the peak at evening discharge?
Good question. So when the government went through and looked at all these various technologies, they looked at all of the different iterations of it. So 1, 2, 4, 8, 12-hour lithium-ion battery, the red flow batteries, and a number of variations in between.
But I think basically they landed on the 4-hour battery.
Because a 4-hour battery meets the demand for that peak period. In essence, what they're trying to do is they're trying to ensure that when renewables are not readily available, which is during that peak period, they need to make sure that they can be covered during that time. So the 4-hour battery, from their point of view, made the most sense. And it's basically the strategy that we've gone for as well. We want to be completely aligned with what the government's targets are. When you look through the economics of it as well, and this was all released by the government, the 4-hour battery makes the most economic sense. To be honest, when we went through and did the numbers, we thought first off the battery price may have been a little bit higher than where it was, but it actually came in a bit cheaper as well.
It's getting cheaper. With the lower price of lithium, you know, I think the economies of scale of batteries will, by the time you're actually turning sod, you're going to find that prices are down, I'd say.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that as well. So I think with a 4-hour battery, with what our strategy is in any case, it makes the most economic sense. What we'll obviously look to do, so this is obviously just stage one. This makes the complete perfect sense at this point. When we get to stage 2, 3 in the future, we'll do a complete examination of other technologies and whatever's out there in the market. But my gut feeling, it's going to be a very similar result in the future as well.
Yeah. So what's the seasonality look like? Because, you know, at the moment, of course, you get strong sun from sort of 9:30 through till 3:30. But in the winter, you can have 3-4 days of, you know, very overcast, no wind. And you might even struggle to fill those batteries over a couple of days.
Now, so what we've done with our strategy, so just using very round numbers, when they do the forecast for what's our solar generation going to be, they look at historical data over the last decade in the area on a daily basis. When you look at that data, the peak solar period is December, January, and that's give or take around 1 million kilowatt hours per day. When you look at the lowest generation period, which is in June, that's around about 330,000 kilowatt hours. So now when you look through at the size of our battery, we've completely mirrored the size of the battery to basically absorb all of that energy that's going to be outputted in that minimum period. So what I mean by that, once we get to June, the idea is at the moment, we will effectively not really sell any energy directly into the market from solar. We'll fully load the battery up because I'll guarantee every day of the week, we're going to get a much higher price at 6 p.m. compared to what we will at 9 a.m. every day of the year. So by fully loading that battery, that makes the most sense for us.
I mean, even in the summer, if your battery is fully loaded by, say, 2:30 in the afternoon, you'd be selling from the solar panels at a low price until about 5 when the price of power goes up. So it makes very little difference, I guess, to your overall revenue because at the end of the day, you're selling that 320 megawatt hours in the winter and in the summer.
100%. And that's completely in line with what our strategy is. All we're doing is basically looking to arbitrage the energy time. Importantly, with the battery where we have selected, so it's a DC coupled battery, so we actually have no energy losses when it goes from the panels across to the battery to fully load it. That would be in comparison to a big battery, which would be AC battery, and then you lose energy through the inverters through that process. We lose no energy. It's just an arbitrage of time. That's the easiest way to actually describe it.
Adam, I also noticed there's a little bit of corporate activity in the sector with J-Power making a proposed bid for a peer company, Genex, which is a solar and photovoltaic a battery operator on the East Coast. I mean, I guess that raises the stakes a little bit and shows there is quite a bit of interest in what you're doing over here as well.
Yeah, well, listen, it sounds like at the moment that transaction, from my understanding, is likely to go ahead unless there's a competing offer. Obviously, there was parties interested in that not too long ago. I'd be interested if they come back again. On saying all that, if it does go through, my understanding is we're going to be the only pure play renewable energy developer / near-term producer on the ASX, which is great from our point of view. At the same time, as part of our funding strategy, and this is on the back of receiving a lot of interest over the last 12 months, a lot of larger groups, industrials, renewable energy players that are offshore. As part of our financing strategy, we've appointed Baron Joey to run a strategic process for us. The idea of that is that we will potentially look at bringing in a partner. That partner will pay for an amount, which in essence will reduce our equity contribution through funding. My gut feeling as well, any partner that would come through, they'll look at what we have as stage one and say, this is a great startup project, but let's get cracking on this and let's make this a bigger project sooner rather than later. And we'll be fully supportive of that. And that's sort of what our expectations are of any party coming through would be.
And thinking sort of counterintuitively, will the project be able to take power from the grid when it is paid to do so? Like if the power price is negative and you've got space in your batteries, could you actually pump them up from the grid?
Listen, I suppose theoretically we could, but at the same time, if we were doing that, we would not be selling energy. We would not be transferring our solar energy into the battery. So it could be somewhat counterintuitive at that point in time. But let's just say theoretically at midnight, as loads of wind and prices go negative then as well, we could look to do that. But my gut feeling is it would be a bit of a rare occurrence at the moment in Western Australia. Especially when you look at demand in Western Australia, it's going up all times of the day at the moment. It's just demand is really starting to go up, and it's a struggle for energy generation to really keep up at the minute.
Yeah. So now that you've got your DFS, and you went through briefly the key sort of outputs from that with EBITDA and the net present value of the project and a very strong sort of annual cash flow, what are your funding options that you're looking for going forward?
Yep. So as I mentioned, we've kicked off the debt process already. So we have a number of the leading Australian and international banks all in a data room at the moment. We will provide an update to the market early in the second quarter just regarding that process. On saying that, would hopefully look to then close out the process sort of the back end of that quarter. At the same time, as I've already alluded to, we're running the strategic process as well. And that's going to help us really reduce that equity capital component for the project. Listen, we all own shares in the project. We're not looking to do large dilutionary raises in this as best as we can. We're really looking to ensure that shareholders are going to benefit best from this project and really look to accelerate it on the way through.
the business case you've outlined and what sort of timing are you hoping to sort of lock in over the next sort of 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, so I suppose first off, the first one is getting financing all sorted out over the next 3 to 4 months, I suppose, and then finalising on FID by the middle of this year. Once FID has been finalised, effectively the project development starts there afterwards. So it's a 2-year construction time. When I say construction, however, the actual construction time on site's only about 4 to 5 months. It's ordering the long lead items. So you're looking then the middle of 2026 will be constructed. We've then allowed a 4-month commissioning. That's working through with Western Power and AEMO to do their testing. So that's the back end of 26. We'll be expecting at the moment for first production coming through. At the same time, however, obviously, as I mentioned, this is stage one of the project. We will be working through how does stage 2, 3, 4 look like from there as well. We're looking to grow this into a very significant project as quickly as we possibly can because there's huge demand in the market for it at the moment. There's obviously a lot of energy coming off in Western Australia, got Collie coming off at the same time as what we're bringing energy through. It's really going to ensure that we're going to get really strong revenue and returns for investors.
So who makes the decision on the types of solar panels and batteries? I mean, obviously the technology in panels is moving ahead and efficiencies. And also, you know, we're looking at lithium iron phosphate batteries being probably more secure than the nickel cobalt manganese ones in terms of thermal stability and so forth. So, I mean, you'll be advised by your engineering partners and consultants on that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's quite key with what we're actually doing at the same time. We're not going to be using anything exotic or new or special that may get you a little bit of a edge with theoretical better returns. Everything we're doing from the inverters, the panels, the trackers, the battery, they're all on the grid at the moment or being developed at the moment on the grid in Western Australia. The reason why we're doing that, we want to ensure that when we bring this project through, the regulators have all seen this a million times before. The second you do something a little bit different, you're asking for delays. We don't want to have delays. We just want to ensure with stage one project, it is more vanilla than vanilla on the way through. It's been done a million times before to ensure we get everything done completely on time and on track as well.
And that would explain why the whole hydrogen option is now sort of in stage 3 and 4 rather than up the front.
Yeah, listen, hydrogen, we're still believers in the long term for it, but I think it's been shown through a number of different areas, not just in Australia, but around the world. The hydrogen market is still a little bit away from actually coming through. We ran an offtake process earlier through last year. A heck of a lot of people are very interested in the market, and I do believe at some point it will come through, but it's still immature at the moment. The issue is at the moment, if I gave you a kilo of hydrogen today, I'm not sure you'd know what to do with it, and you wouldn't know what to pay me. And I think that's the problem with hydrogen. We believe at a point when it's there, when it does get there, we've got the green energy, we've got the water supply around the project as well. We can meet that market. But at that time, we're going to have to ensure that the economic returns from doing that are going to be superior than what we're going to get from selling energy directly onto the grid. On the forecast, basically on the forecast that we're seeing, it's got some time to play out.
Adam, that's a good summary. So what can investors look forward to seeing in news flow for the first half of 2024 and into the second half as well?
Obviously, as I mentioned, it's all working towards FID, which we're targeting for the middle of this year. So there'll be quite a bit of updates coming through just regarding the debt process as well as strategic process. So that will be kicking through from here through all of second quarter. So there'll be, and you know, they're big catalyst updates. And at the same time as well, we are doing work on how does this look like in the future? What's the expansion potential of this project? We roughly know what it's going to look like, but we really want to step through in great detail what stage 2, 3, 4, and whatever else may look like in the future to make this a significant project, not just for Western Australia, which we believe it will already be through stage one, but really on a national scale as well.
Yeah, so you've got 800 hectares of land there. You probably get a few bob just running a few sheep on it at the moment just to keep the register going over.
No, don't worry. We got a few sheep and there's cows on there as well.
Oh, good. Adam, thanks for coming in to Stockhead today. That's a really good rundown on the project, and we'll look forward to seeing as you move towards FID later this year how things pan out. So thanks again for coming in to talk to Stockhead.
Perfect. Thanks for having me again, Peter.